now we are lost. Spirit have ushered you in, where your faith has taken a grip upon His word, and you're standing there knowing that you have your post of duty tonight, knowing that you've come in the house of God by a commandment that you have given unto us, not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, much more as we see that they're approaching, and the expectation we can have. For He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, here I am in the midst. And how much more as we see that they're approaching on this great day that the scripture spoke of, when the Son of Man was going to be revealed, He will appear in a cloud with power and great glory. When we see the fig tree begin to put forth its bud, when we know that the kingdom of God is at hand. This great day that we have been studying and looking at all the things prophesied, when it is possible, if the elect would have been deceived, but they have cut those days short. Otherwise, no flesh would have been saved. How grateful we are tonight to be counting that great number that is called out and being gathered together by this message. Be made ready for the coming of the Lord. We can never overemphasize the grace that is. That's the elective love of Almighty God. God, the only ones who are really called and taken up in the mystery of that seventh seal, given this great revelation of the rapture, those names were found written in the book. At that day shall Michael stand, deliver those names that is found written in the book. Almighty God, with bowed hearts, we stand in your great august presence tonight. Thankful, yet God, for the grace that has been given unto us in Jesus Christ, the great calling with which you have called us, the great purpose that you have called us unto, dear God, the great realization that you have brought our hearts into with the enlightening that have come through the revealed word, the word that you have opened up in these last days according to your promise in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. The book that was sealed up would be opened, the mysteries of God would be finished. Those things that the thunders, O God, Father, utter, dear God, was going to be made known to the end time bride, to gather her together, to show how to appear for great translation faith. And dear God, to think that we are part of this great number, to think, dear God, that when we look and see how you have dealt with us, Lord, in this day, this day that you've marked out so clearly, identified by signs, causes dear God to see the signs of the time, identifying to us that this is that day. And dear God, then the message of the hour, the voice behind the sign, Father. Oh God, uncovering your great lovely person, that we might see you who have come down in this day, that we might see you, dear God, who are gathering your bride together, that we might see you and understand your divine purpose, dear God, that we might be brought to walk in this great marvelous light, that we might enter into this great fellowship with you, Lord, that our hearts might beat high with joy. Oh God, this great message can minister such a rapturing faith to us, perfecting our faith in this hour. We thank you for that, Father. We rejoice tonight because when we see these things, we see so much prophecy coming to pass in our very lives, dear God. To know our lives is not just some ordinary lives. Eat and drink and work and sleep and wear. Oh God, but there's a mystery unfolding, Father. Hallelujah. There's a work taking place. There's a leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's a channel of communication that you've given to us by inspiration, that we can understand, that we can follow, that we can fellowship, dear God, that we can walk with faith, dear God. We thank you for that tonight, Father. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, glory and honor be unto you. Hallelujah. Oh, we ask, dear God, tonight, that you would continue to enlighten us, dear God. You would continue, Lord, to build up our faith. You would continue to take away every bit of amnesia, oh God, that truly, Lord, we can know, Father, Lord God, how to carry on your word. Lord, we don't just want to come to church. We want to see the portion of the scriptures that you left back for us to fulfill it, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit to quicken and anoint that word and bring it to life, to walk in the line of that word, to have the mind of Christ and to know what you want done with that word. Like the Father was in the Son and led the Son to quicken the word and bring it to life, that the Son could open the book and identify himself in the scriptures, and that this day is this scripture is fulfilled. And he could say, I must be above my Father's business in becoming me to fulfill all righteousness. I do this thing that please my Father always. So, dear God, we want to walk in that realization, because it is written that the bride is part of the bridegroom. She's made with the same material, all that he is, she is. And it is you in your own pride, fulfilling your word you left for this time. Father, help us tonight. We come with hungry hearts. We come yielding unto you, Lord. Teach us thy way, O Lord. We will walk in thy word. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Instruct us in truth, Lord. Enlighten us according to your promise. Hallelujah. And dear God, remember the sick. Remember the needy. Remember the weak, oh God. Remember them that have fallen down. Remember them that have fallen afar off tonight. Remember them that don't have the victory. Remember them, oh God, Father, that is standing in the need of prayer. Remember them, Almighty One. Almighty One, we come to you. We ask, dear God, you remember our brothers, our sisters, Father, in the need of prayer, dear God. All them who prayer have been offered for, and the Holy Spirit, dear God, we the one we are depending on to take those prayers and turn them into blessings, oh God, and minister the need to the need. Hallelujah. And lift them up out of those conditions, that your name will be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you grant it, Father. You're a God who remember your promise. You're a God, dear, who said not one hair of our head will be hurt. Lord, we are more than sparrows, and if two are so far fighting, and one cannot fall to the ground, but that which you know, how much more are we? We are depending on those things that you have spoken, in showing to us how reliable you are, how interested you are, how able you are. We are depending on those things. We believe those things. We confess those things tonight. Hallelujah. We God, Lord, we know you love us, Father, and we love you too, Jesus. Have your blessed way. Lead us and direct us in this service. And get honor and glory to your name. We thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your wonderful name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Bless you. Amen. Certainly happy to be in this great presence tonight. Covered my glasses tonight. I'm just seem like I'm hustling so much. I I would like to open up in Revelation 6. Maybe I could recite that by heart. Amen. Keith, you understand? Read that to me, Revelation 6, 7, 8. Sound in this microphone here and read that to me. Amen. Abraham, you? Amen, by the grace of God. Blessed is he that read it. Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. Amen. I could preach because I know what is in my heart. Amen.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the field of the earth.
And just continue to read over Revelation 13, verses 15 to 17.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man should buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Amen. The Lord bless you. You may have a seat. Maybe I could read that if my Bible wasn't so marked up. Especially when you get to the book of Revelation. Even with glasses, I could hardly read it sometimes. So. I had a little thought in my heart that I could take for the tape tonight. The makings of a new world order. The makings of a new world order. Because that's a great thing that's the nations, especially the big industrialized nations, has focused upon, and they are looking at a new world. Even science and technology is ushering us into a new type of world. And the world as we used to know it, and the way that we used to live in that world and function in that world and operate in that world, it seems that gradually, day by day, we are changing the way that we do everything because of the place where technology, science, civilization is taking us. Now is a new type of education. And all of that is so that we can move into this new world. It's what they really call progress. In one word, they say progress. But progress makes us do things a little different. And so, you know, we've been using these Wednesday nights to kind of teach a little bit. And I started with the power given to the beast and to the image. And then I went from there to the siege and the conquest. And then from there to Babylon methods of destruction. And then Sunday I was speaking on, behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And I'm trying just to find the places where I believe I can minister to help the assembly at this time. And that's why I try to, when it's more relaxed and more cool on Wednesday nights, and it seems that there is not so much tension in the place, to sort of relax and teach a little bit on some of these things that we have been studying in the comparing the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, how it came in, and the end of the Gentile dispensation, how it is going out. And I've been proving these things to you and trying to take the scriptures and compare them. And I've been asking you also to read a little bit in some of the scriptures in the Old Testament, because sometimes, not being an Old Testament reader, and you get down in there and You know, if you have a lazy mind and you start to read all kind of strange names and big names and names of places and funny names of people and you can't even pronounce sometimes, it gets you discouraged and your mind can't seem to absorb some of these things. But you see, when you have an understanding that the Old Testament foreshadows the new, and the secret of the things in the book of Revelation is in the Old Testament, then you take pains to read it, because if you want to understand the book of Revelation, you have to read the Old Testament. Because those things are in the Old Testament. And so when you read about Mystery Babylon, you know, the great, when you read about the Jews, you know how they're going to come back in the last days, they're going to have two prophets, they're going to bring signs, they're going to bring them out of Roman hands. Well, to understand how they bring them out of Roman hands, you have to find how God bring them out of the Egyptian hands. To understand what Moses and Elijah are going to do in the last days, you have to go back in the Old Testament and see what Moses did and what Elijah did. To understand Jezebel over here, you have to go back and understand Jezebel there. To understand Babylon over here, go back and understand Babylon over there. So if you don't, and if you don't, if you try to understand Revelation, don't go to Daniel. Well, Revelation, the same thing that God showed John is what God showed Daniel and Ezekiel. Because those are the things that is over there. And that's why it's so important that you know the Old Testament. And I have to take that in the Old Testament. And when I take it in the Old Testament, then I can bring to you and show you what was sealed up in those seals. And that's why when you can see it, then you get don't get a superficial idea of the seals. You know, today people say, yeah, I believe the seals. And they don't know two things about the seals. Because the seals is what sealed the book. The book had a message. And the seals seal the message up. What is a seal for? There's a message on there. Something is sealed up. You have to break the seal to get what was sealed up. And what was sealed up was mysteries. And the reason is mysteries, because though it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, it's not talking about him. Because when the book is open, we have no man on the earth named Nebuchadnezzar. But he is king of Babylon. But you have a king of Babylon here. You get that? And so it's a mystery. So then when the seal opens and it takes the places like that, it's to uncover to you what is here. You see, and hell and death was given power over the earth. Well, when is that? How can we know what time they will have power over the fourth part of the earth to kill? Well, those living creatures, you had one that was a lion. That lion, you can find that lion back in the Old Testament. Of the tribe of Judah. You can find Judah camping at the east. You can find the promise of the Messiah, who is going to be that lion of Judah. And so on. You can find Judah tied to the kingdom with David, who is the shadow and type of this great one that was going to come, this great captain, this great deliverer, this great shepherd, this great king. David unfolded that mystery. He was from Judah, he's from Bethlehem. He's a type of Christ. But the lion also tells us something in time. Paul, Eunice, and Martin was the lion. The lion covered a period of time. He had a time when it changed to the ox. And 68 million died. The church went in martyrdom. So if it's the time of the eagle, and the eagle comes in the days after the man, then the man wasn't just wisdom. But a man covered a period of time of reformation when men operated with the wisdom of God. Not yet prophetic, but wisdom. And that's why wisdom, even though it is not prophetic vision yet, and you operate when the book is sealed, it was the greatest age of teaching and learning, where most of the great Christian books and charts and teachings of the Bible came forth. You get that? So you had that age. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost wasn't ox. It wasn't lion, it was man. So then when they get the eagle now revealing this mystery, that's when power will be given to this system that can kill. And sometimes you look at the system and you don't see nothing powerful about it. And one of the brothers was telling me Sunday, he was talking to some Pentecostal lady and telling her about the Rome, the Roman Catholic system to control the world and so on. And she was kind of shocked, like, Rome? What kind of weird idea is that? And the other say, look, lady, you don't have no understanding what the Roman Catholic Church is in the, according to the Bible. Well, Paul Gill, all she knows, they're trying to speak in tongues. They're trying to prophesy. If they get under teaching, she doesn't know what age she's living in. She doesn't know it's prophesied for age. But she caught in a time warp. So she don't know where she's at. I mean, all her little jumping around and dancing and rolling the floor, whatever she can do, she's still ignorant and blind as to the plan of God. So she can't even know she's being led by God. Because she had to come over in this age to get eye salve, to get white raiment, to get gold tried in the fire. So, under your fourth seal, that eagle covers a period of time. It goes all the way until time runs out for both Jew and Gentile. Because on the Jewish side, it's two prophets again. Not rabbis going to come there and reform us, prophets. Not Jewish historians, not the Mossad, not political Israel. No. Prophets coming to catch elect. Mighty angel coming down to deliver the names from written in the book. I'm calling out to Judaism and denominationalism and Romanism and a sealing in the forehead with a baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to come to them. And look at those people right there. You go Palestine, and what are you going to see? You're going to see Jews there. And among all them Jews is 144,000. And the only way you're going to know them is when Moses and Elijah begin to speak. And when they come, they're going to shake up the Jewish system. Because right now, though you have that nation there, and them 12 tribes and so on back there, yet you have so much interpretations. I remember when I was in Israel, they had this man, this leader, religious leader from New York, and he had a sect there, and he goes to Israel certain times of the year, and he has the exact house built, the exact size, exact furniture, everything exact like he has over there. And I look at it, and while I was there, you know, I tell you about it when we had come up from that trip some years ago, how it was, and we talked to different people, and they, you know, their mind is locked back there under the Old Testament of what they used to do in shadow. Even in Paul's time, when he taught the book of Hebrews, was to get them to see that the things in the Old Testament and all the rituals, all the ordinances, was really shadows speaking of Jesus. That's what Hebrews was for. That's why it's called Hebrews. Because Paul wrote it to the Jews. His own people. To try to get them to see it was only shadows, and under the shadow it made nothing perfect. And a man had to carry a sacrifice every year because he still had the old conscience. And Paul was trying to show God was talking about a Jew inwardly, not a Jew outwardly. That Abraham is the father of faith children. Whether they have the circumcision or uncircumcision, because he's the father of all nations. And they had no franchise on Abraham to exempt Gentiles. Because the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost came upon all nations by Jesus Christ. That's why the day of Pentecost, all nations was gathered here. And every man heard them speak in their own language. Is that right? Yeah. It's wonderful, you know, when you see the accuracy the perfection that the word is laid out with. Because it tells you, not like long ago people say, how you will know, or who can be sure. That is when the book was closed. But you see, there was an age, the very fact that it was going to be made known is why a prophet was put in the age, why it was promised the seal was going to be taken off, and there'll be a sounding, and there'll be a calling out of the elect, and it will be the elect they're calling out, marking them and sealing them away, that they will not be deceived, and they shall know as they were known. All of that is prophesied. That was prophesied. That this chosen generation, this royal priesthood, this peculiar people, this holy nation, is going to be taken out. God's people in the last days. God was going to identify them and make himself known to them until he himself will dwell in them and walk in them. And so there was a day we were going to be certain, because that's why Peter said we have a word of prophecy made more sure, because God is going to come down in this age to vindicate the word, and then he's going to prove that word in the life of believers. That's how he proves his word. That there'll be people who will know that they have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost in them is giving them the revelation and making it actual in the experience, and they will overcome in the age, because that Holy Spirit in them manifests in that word, quickening that word, because you will always find those people looking at the promise, quickening the promise, bringing it to life. They will not just be coming to church. When they'll talk as an oracle of God. They'll know the season. They'll know the prophecy. They'll know the continuity of the Bible. They will know where that thing fit. They will know that's them is speaking of. They will know. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. And that's why it is so foolish when people see people catching that and then say, were they trying to play? That is the devil blinding them, because they don't know that is what the Holy Ghost was given for. That's what it's given for. That's why when people have the Holy Ghost, they just can't come to church and sit down. They just can't be go along and see people falling apart, see people need salvation, see people, you know, need healing, see people in ignorance need to know the truth and be enlightened, and they just don't care. Bride know the call to fulfill that word. Bride know he's the vine, they're the branches. Bride know by and through them he's doing these things. The Holy Ghost in them constrains them and stirs them towards those things. Holy Spirit, quicken them and say, give virtue, give faith. That's why I give you faith, to give this man virtue, to give this one knowledge here, to help this one here come to the promise. That's why I give it to you. That can flow to you and make you sensitive. And that's why you find people who have the Holy Ghost, they're always looking to do something outside the walls. They're not going to turn the gospel and get fat and say, well, you know, we have the truth and nobody else, and get caught in the personality cults and clans and these things. No. They're going to be looking to see the things that is to be done. Because the Holy Ghost is God, and God watches over his word, and God has to bring it to pass in a certain time. There was an hour when Jesus had to say, I thirst. First they tried to give him vinegar and things to drink, right? Is that right? But then the time came in the Spirit, he said, I thirst. Even down to the minutest of things. When that year come to go into the Passover, but he steadfastly set his face with Jerusalem. Why? The Holy Ghost in him was letting know, now, this year, all them scriptures will be fulfilled in a few days. More visions in his ministry in that last year than his previous years. When you read the message of Brother Bam 1962 saying, he said, this year I've had more visions. He says, just see the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of that year, 1962, that was the great year. It was going to come with a blast to break the vision, to get them ready for the commission. What the angel spoke on the river 30 years ago, what the angel speak. But 51 years almost, or 54 years ago, when he was up in there, when he was born there, the light come. When he was 7 years, and the angel say, there's a work for you to do when you get older. Now, that year was coming for the big climax year. And he says, when you see the brick, this wall, get in your wagon and go west. Here's a man not going to meet ministers now, not going to have meetings now. That this meeting was going to be with angels. This meeting was not going to meet some men and meet some churches and preach and display the gift now. This is going to meet angels. So the most sublime act written in the entire Bible that all creation for 6,000 years depended on, where a man will take the book, the lamb will step forward and take the book. Hallelujah! And those things pass like what? Everyday experience. Had no announcement made in the White House. The Pentecostals didn't close down the churches to come and see what's going on. It went so normal that now when you look back, knowing what it was that took place there, you realize when this man was saying that, how stupid he must look to educated people. And what a place he had to stand up to say those things, because nobody was interpreting them scriptures. So nobody's interpreting them scriptures. So, and this man saying, no, I had a vision. When they break this wall of mine here, I supposed to drive up my wagon and go west. West could be anywhere. West. How far you gonna call west? Right down to California? Up to Arizona? Where you call west? But he knew exactly where to go west. Because in that vision, but under inspiration, then that dream where he's going towards the setting sun, and he says, just the other day I was looking at the map, I was on Sunset Peak, I was going towards the setting of the sun in the dream. It was in the Coronado Forest, mean Krung. Because he says, Lord, Krung my ministry, I'll take the clothes of the world and dress this bride. Because after the rejection, you're going to come the crowning. Yes. Could you imagine, friends? And today we have this book here. And we are looking back and understanding it have things that started here that is relevant, that begin to bring a change in the way God will deal with human beings on the earth. I don't know if your mind could get up there or how deep your religion does go, but listen to me. Under that third seal, God had a work to do in the church. He had to bring it through them three stages: justification, sanctification, and the restoration. Water, blood, and spirit to build a church. Under this method, we're going to train a church up and bring it to maturity, to be one with Him, to go back to Eden. Under this message, to bring it to adoption. It will be a different kind of message for a different kind of people, because in each age, you just have so much elect. And when the elect is gathering that age, the rest is further. You get that? A seal open, a mystery unfold. A man on the earth catches revelation that other people don't get. Getting me? He's going to make the teachers before him look like he's trying to contradict them and tell them they was wrong. But he's coming on with greater light. Because that was the plan of God. Even though when the prophet found it, he said, look in the wheat plant. The stalk. It comes up as a stalk. Jesus had taught it in Mark 4 and Matthew 13. Then it grew in a more mature stage to a tassel. Then it grew in a more mature stage to a husk. Then it becomes back to the original condition in the green. He found it in science. You see, look over here at a horse and buggy age. Then get more power. It become a motor car. It get more power. It become an aeroplane and went off the earth. It become beyond that and go to the astral age and leave the planet and go on into outer space. Man was going to come on the age, and as the Spirit give light from the throne, man was going to break into things and find things in the Bible. Because all them things was in the Bible. The man who make the horse cap, he found the material in the earth. The man who make the motor car, he found the material in the same earth that the man make the horse cap from and couldn't see the material to make the motor car. The man who made the aeroplane found the same material in the very earth that they couldn't see to build an aeroplane in that time. Amen! You don't get troubled when the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. You rejoice. You recognize God. You move with the Spirit. You fly with God. Amen. Because if you know God, how he has been revealed by the message of the hour, in the unveiling of his purpose, how we walk. That's why the prophet took it in nature, took it in science, took it with the church, took it everywhere to prove these things. It was not a makeup thing. When he preached message like masterpiece and said, them four foundations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, then the law and the prophets, amen, from Moses to John, and then the very word, the second Adam himself, standing there, Lord, come in the volume of the book, the entirety of the word. He's all them prophets, part of the word, but in the word himself, he got up all into himself. He was the fullness to show to us that we can expect. There's going to be churches, brides, but there's going to come a real bride who will be part of the very bridegroom. She will have the very characteristic, amen, to be one with him for the marriage. And when your little heart begin to get stirred, and that seed that God put inside of you, and your eyes begin to pop open, and you say, my God, I know, I was invited by a friend, yes, sure, but when I came, God spoke to me. God revealed them things to me. God proved them things to me. Even when I went back home, it never stopped. It didn't stop that week, and now about 20-something years, and it ain't stopping at all. It's growing stronger every day. And you realize, that no, these things is not ordinary. These things are not ordinary. I am somehow God of a design on my life. Somehow God taught me a certain way. At first my mind couldn't grasp that kind of concept, because living in condemnation, I see so much people better than me. I see so much people deserve the break. And it seemed like it just happened my way. Amen! Me with my low self-esteem and not understanding the sovereignty of the potter to make one vessel to honor and one to dishonor, and nobody could tell him what to do. I used to battle in my mind. I just say, no. And then that old devil, before I even understand his devices, well, everything God give me, he's going to take away too. He say, you puff up in your mind. You try to make yourself bright, you can't make yourself bright. Hey, you're born a loser, you're gonna die a loser. You try your best, you're gonna backslide one day for sure. Amen. But then it just seemed the Father wouldn't let it happen at all. He gave a repellent, he gave an inoculation, he gave an immunity. And I grew to a place when I watched the same devil at a sea, and I getting frustrated and it's going overdrive. I say, eat that, amen, eat that. Hallelujah. And I realized I don't be running around saying, the devil. The devil be running saying, keep it away from me. Only in backing up as all it's supposed to. Only in Gary Smith and quarreling with the devil. He said, tell them to harass that man. It wasn't a matter. They say, he's an eagle, we buzzards. We try to get where he's flying, we disintegrate. Oh, man. He
is the way he takes off in the world, so we get lost under the Catholicism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. But this man talking another language, this man talking King Lucifer, you don't even understand. Oh, brother, I tell you, amen. You are an ego, amen. You ain't no heart, you ain't no person. I was born to fly. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest.
Hear them devils. You see, all your heart demand going to Tibet. All this, all over the place, so hard and control so much. You should carry the man Tibet. The man will be some reincarnationist today. All the carry the man, all the man with Santa Cruz. All you know, Santa Cruz means the cross, the Holy Cross. Oh, man. Get glory. Let them fuss over that. Amen. I'm on my way to glory land. Amen. I'm heaven bound. The devil can sort his house in order. Amen. Didn't God say you was going to get bruised? You don't get battered before you get bruised. You know that? Sure. Take a good battering first. Amen. But wait, you guys in the millennium? You think Jesus overcome the devil in the millennium? Oh, brother. Wait, the prophet bonk the man by a nut? In the sixth dimension? No, sir. When God lift him up to see his place, to put the mind, the intelligence in him, to where he was linked up with God in a union, that he preached to us in uniting time, in oneness, in invisible union, super sign, preach to us the mystery of that union. How you just come into it? Because you have representation with Kutni. Amen. And unite with the new husband when the old husband is dead. Because that was the real you were supposed to be, had not yet been a fall. You'd have come and talked to that very word. But because that word was inside of you, that's why Mama Eagle comes in. You are an eagle from the egg, Junior. I come to get you, amen. You belong to me. Didn't come for your flesh, come for that soul. Come for that soul. And then you know you're magnetized. Because after that, something about Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Just something about Jesus. He just seemed to get sweeter as the days go by. My Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. He just seemed to get so much more glorious. Amen. You just want to please him in every way. You just want to do everything for him. He knows to fix you up real good. Amen. Yes, sir. He fixed you in such a way. Only Jesus could do it to you like that. Amen. My glory. You don't want no dope. You don't know things that the world and the devil can offer. You don't want all these things that he come out with that entangle you up. Because you got something, amen, from Jesus. You say, Satan, move back with your impersonation thing, amen. Move back with all them temporal things, amen. I got something eternal. I got something, amen, that's so glorious. Why? You found the real treasures. You found the real treasures. You found the unsearchable riches. When you open them seals, in every age you're saying, and they're not overcoming, I'll give you. To eat of the tree of life. You know what eating of the tree of life is. You know that fruit. Amen. Every time you bite and you eat,
You talk about juicy, you talk about stimulation, you talk about joy, you talk about nourishment and strength. You don't have nothing to throw it up, pass out, no way, so that, you know. All that is used to take you higher. Listen to the higher bracket of faith. He said, you'll not be hurt to the second death. Woo! But the Holy Ghost man quicken you and you pass from death to life. And Satan come in, I scare you, show you like a fire. He said, I'll live here, move from here. Amen. When I'll be existing, you wouldn't be around. You wouldn't be existing, Satan, because I'll be for you and I'll be after you. Amen. Hallelujah! Because you know what it is not to be hurt of the second death. I'll give you a white stone with a new name. Amen. We are all kind of Godfather and Godmother and all kind of different people want to go in name and alias and all kind of different things to walk with. Amen. But wonder when he opened the mystery of what part of the world you are. Hallelujah. Something that nobody can see and tell you that is your name is revealed to you first. When you preach it, when you unveil it, somebody might be convinced. Amen. But it comes to you first. It can't come to them because you have to live it out, see it in your life, and know that's you. Amen. Knows it's yours. You have that already. You're not going to get it. You have that already. You got the Holy Ghost. You got a new birth in the family of God. You have that. Glory! My. In the dark world when paganism, but it just darkness and upon the people, is I'll give you the morning star. Hallelujah! And brother, we had a promise. Here he is. He promised to give him to you. Here he is. In the go-between, the bright and morning star, he's come down the conjunction. He's come to get you. Amen. That's your promise. He'll lighten you all the way, the path of the just. Shine it unto a perfect day. As the day dawn and the day star, rise in your heart. And you walk in knowing, is the morning star holding me? Is the morning star lightening me? Is the morning star guiding me? Is the ministry of the morning star? Glory! I'll give you white raiment. Amen. He said, I will not block your name out of the book. But we can understand that until this day. It's until this day, tell you under no circumstances. There's a book there, a section there, that the names cannot ever go off. If it goes off, then God becomes incomplete. It can't happen. You are eternal as God was eternal. The eternal thoughts of God. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, there the synagogue of Satan will try to come against you. They'll try to claim originality. He said, but I will make them come and bow to you and before your feet. Amen! Because they come against you, they come against me. Amen! I write upon you the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife who come down from heaven, and my new name. I write in you. You will know what it is to be on Mount Zion, where the spirits of just men are made perfect, that you are part of the city of the living God. You will know. You will sit with him in his throne. Amen. He on the key of David, you will take your veil off and rest on his shoulder. Glory. You mean you eating this fruit from the tree of life? And you feel you're poor? You mean you discover these riches? Don't you know for 2,000 years they want to know what them things meant? Don't you know it couldn't be unveiled to them? Don't you know the end time messenger? The end time seed sign? When the Son of Man himself come back? And he take the book and said, unveil it to you. And said, children, I'll tell you what I'm doing for you in this hour. When a prophet could stand and say, them cherubims are rushing you back to the tree of life right now. They don't want you eating off of no denominational tree. They want you only eating from this tree that is bringing forth this fruit in due season. Who leaves shall not wither. Amen. It's going planted by the rivers. Plural of water, singular. Amen. Let's talk in planted. And you will get away from that picture and say, boy, to go up church this evening, to go quite Londonville. You miserable wretch. Amen. Oh, my. No, you're part of the economy, a faith economy. You get in your white robe. You've been taken up in the first resurrection. I'll see you in the rapture right now. Hey, brother, you make it. Sister, you make it. Why? There's an atmosphere of love and power. There's a faith that knows the position. There's a testimony. There's a right confession that the gates of hell shall not prevail. They cemented a lively stone that built the spiritual house. Must leave my glasses home a few times. Hallelujah! Can't see a thing inside of here, but God is telling me you got something in here, son. I wrote it here. You can read it there. From there you can read it there, man. Glory to the God in the heights. Oh yes, I believe it. Amen. My. They talk about a new world order and all this great thing that's happening in the world, all the great cataclysmic changes, upheavals in the political realms, in the religious realms, in the financial realms, in nature, shaking, reshaping, systems coming down. But the people, religions and the traditions is all being blown to bits. You go in Malaysia, They wear Nike sneakers, Nike sneakers and Levi jeans and everything else. But you go away into Russia, they think of all them big Siberian thing, and they're wearing the same thing. You go into India, they think of all them things. And you go to China, they have all them traditional things. And wow, this is an age where the world was going to go through such shaking, friends. Every kingdom was going to be so shaking, every man, woman, every system, every institution, but about the science of how they're shaking. When they say that, but evolution, these things, here's a God come and say, let there be a square. Take that back, you scientists. Go in your laboratories. I cook them and I ate them, amen. Hallelujah. Man 20, medical science. They say, this man is dead, clinically dead. They say, bring him to me. But God, raise the man back up, amen. 50-pound cancer says, not a chance to live. You have 2 days, get your will in order. 50-pound cancer, fall off. Yeah. Amen. God, this science had to shake him. Man, talk about angels in an age where people wandering and they have woman angel, man angel, boy angel, girl angel, little Cupid with the bow and everything else, all kind of angels. Man, to the angel of the Lord is here tonight. He says, whatever you felt there, sister, he says, did you feel something there, stranger, so move right through you? He says, lift your hand, that the truth. He says, that will hurt you. That is his presence. He's here. Amen. So you are close to God as you ever would be, lady. Amen. And to show you that that's him, if you make me say something that you know I don't know about you. Oh, my brother! You see God do things like that in this generation. Because I see you coming. I see you're not from this country. You're traveling up to the mountains and lakes. Amen. I also see, he says, mining and a lot of coal mines. He said, that's right. You're from Pennsylvania. Is that the truth? Yes. He said, you come here for a good cause. He says, that handkerchief you're holding there, you come with that. That's a man kerchief. I that's something I read. I could read for you, but I don't have the glasses, but I can tell you. He said, that's a man kerchief you got there. He said, bring that because your husband is sick. And you want me to pray for him. You want to put under his pillow that he'll be healed. Is that right? Yes, he said, you want to put it under his pillow? You imagine God even know the kind of touch? See where the woman come, see the country she travel, describe the land she from, tell her what it is, tell her it's her husband, tell her it's a man culture, shall fall up in her hand here. Tell her what she come there believing that she wants and what she's going to ask for. He said, go ahead and do it. He shall be well. When you're going to take it, put it in the pillow just like you desire to do it. Oh, hallelujah. Then that same God talk over here. He said, no, I'll do something more powerful than that. Amen. I want to go. He said, this now beyond miracles now. He said, the same spirit that performing miracles is now going to reveal truth. He said, because that don't save you. That only shows he's present. That don't heal you. That only lets you know that I'm God, because it changed something that you know I can't know. But this word, it is a bedding drum in your heart. When I reveal your place here and that drops inside of there, then you got it for the rest of your life. And once you have it, then you can impart it to others also afterwards. The same faith that saved you will save others also. It'll put you in that realm. And people just want to underestimate the revealing of the truth. Especially when it's dealing with things that were sealed in the book and have to be unsealed. And was sealed by the Spirit. Because no man for thousands of years could get it, even though they probe, proving that revelation is sovereign. It has to be given by God. That's why God could safely say, nobody will understand serpent seed until the last days. They took all the apple they want. They'll build the biggest Bible school, have the best theories, write the most books. Let one man come up with it and prove it by the Bible. Can't do it. You know why? It has to be given by God. Yet the scripture is written in the Bible. But God got it to hit from the wisest theologian. Amen. Yet in parables and shadows and types and symbols. Which human mind could get there? Because the natural sense of learning that originates in Satan can't know it. It takes eternal life. It takes eternal a life that Satan didn't have. It takes God own life. And that's why for a person who can play a guitar, they bring that thing here. And they bring the play, and you hear the sweetest melodies. And you say, my goodness, I sit down here so sad, so many nights. I try to beat this old pan. I try to beat this drum. I try to make a melody for myself. You mean this, and this was in front of me all the time. You mean this man just takes it, and all these things are locked up there? That's what happened in this day. When a man came and took that Bible, when they were going to prayer books, when they were arguing whether it inspired, he said, well, if the uninspired part could heal, how much more the inspired part could heal? Amen! Doesn't it do you good to sit sometimes and just think? This is why you can have a lazy mind. Sit sometimes in God's presence and just talk and think. And you realize how awesome God is. You realize how powerful God is. You realize how bright His light is. So which circumstance? Frustration is only come in people's lives, but when they have a different thought to God thought about something. You know that? They're going against the Spirit. Against the Spirit. When you get in the flow of the Spirit, brother, whatever is God's will for you, you're happy for that by the grace of God. That's why faith is a revelation of God's will. See, that's why Sunday morning was such a powerful message God gave us there. Casting places to see the things that God can teach a man. You mean God carry a man not in a Bible school, but a potter shop, to teach him sovereignty, to teach him election, to teach him restoration, to teach him but all them great truths, just watching a potter on the wheel? Man, they send them Bible school. God said, you got to watch that man making that with mother. He said, I mean the gardener, even when I make the first man. I take clay. Amen. He said, I clay my hand here. Let a vessel I'm making. Because in my mind, I know exactly what it's going to be used for. I know the lifespan of this thing. I know the service is going to render. I know the pressure it needs to be built up with to fulfill this type of service. Could you imagine that? Don't you think that same God is teaching the same way today? You just pick up that cigarette pack, watch that picture in the wall. That's it, friends. You have something built in to see God everywhere. If the religious man is get trouble because see, he ain't no God so. Because God has to first be on the inside to see him on the outside. See? He built you up to see him. And when you see him, you're so happy. You see God every day. Man, I ain't seen God. I ain't sure. You see him every day. He's there all the time. All the time. Okay, let me just try to talk to you a little bit. Cheer you up enough. Amen. These things we've been studying, and I trust you've been catching the picture, because you know even myself, things that I guess I know and preach and have seen over the years, but sometimes I'm in the pulpit and I hear myself saying things, and I say it a certain way, and when it says like that, I said, my goodness, and that carry me next 4 or 5 months walking down certain trails, and it never ceases to amaze me. I don't always say and explain things, but you listen to me preach, I'll be coming from somewhere. I'll be coming from a certain angle, you know. I'll be searching in a certain field. And when I find something, it'll take me a little while to cut it and polish it and bring it out and show you it. And I'll sit down there for months with it. And you know, it's amazing to think that when I had come the first service to preach, I thought I was going to preach all this in one service. Can you imagine that? But then it's like God has transported me in a path to rest me down. Say, rest down here. And I begin to find things on Friday night for people who sit in the church. And then Sunday morning for the strangers and the young people. And then Wednesday night, trying to get some who is a little more established, a little deeper in the world. And as we've been looking at some of these things, the subjects that I've been trying to hold your attention to, power given, that many people can't see and visualize a system that powerful. Many people couldn't see Hitler as one man rising up there, trying to get his thing going. You know, drop out of school and everything else. Went in the army and come out almost like a failure. And the man is born for something, to catch something. And the man caught the spirit he was designed to catch. And he was going to be the engineer that was going to kill the mastermind of a system, the Third Reich, that come up with the final solution to the Jewish question. And trying to bring forth a super race of people. Which everything he was catching was in the perverted realm. Because God was coming to super race of people. And while 1933 Hitler was catching Nazism, had a prophet standing in the Ohio River and a voice saying, as John was sent to forerun the first coming, so shall your message forerun the second coming. Them thunders was going to come to you one day. And think of it, Hitler was coming up with this Nazism doctrine. Mussolini on the other side was catching fascism doctrine. Stalin on the other side of the world was catching communism doctrine from Lenin. Think of it! And here's a prophet coming there, a man who's going to come forth with seeds one day to plant, to bring forth a super race of people, a super church that will rule the earth. But not no Third Reich, but the Third Pole. He's going to come.
He's going to come and bring forth a super church. And they think how those things begin to fade off the earth. And that man went on to fulfill his prophecies. Identify these things. And when the time came, and he opened that seal, that fourth seal. And that fourth seal, look at it, just two verses. One verse saying, behold, he says, come and see. And I saw the eighth verse, one verse saying, and I saw him that sat on a pale horse, and his name was Death, and hell followed him. And to them was given power to kill a fourth part of the earth. As I show you in the beginning when we started, I said you can trace that in time. That comes at the end of the Pentecostal age. Pentecostal age, 1906 to 1946. Then they become the Laodiceans because they became rich and increased with goods under the healing revival. Then the messenger came at the end of the age when there was rich and increased with goods with a rebuke. Because back in 1906 to 46, he talked about when the woman had no stockings, when they had the box guitar, when they was on the corner, when they put the corn in the train line. You go back, I mean, that was days of depression. But the healing revival is what brought millions into the Pentecostal fold. And in 1 year, the Pentecostals had more converts than all other Protestant and Catholic together in 1 year. With the fastest growing church. Why? Because of the healing revival. Coming to the Pentecostal ranks. And yet the Pentecostals, when they became rich and the prophet began to come with the word, the voice of the sign, they rejected him and put him down. That was to be the last generation because Israel is back in the homeland. I'm just laying out in time for you to show you that there was to be a power. He could not unite three powers in the first age under the white horse. In the time of, how many know the church ages blend with the seals? Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos is lion. Thyatira is the ox. Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, Luther was then Pentecost, is the man. Amen. Then the eagle come at the end of the age. Yes, sir. When the eagle comes forth, now that rider has three powers. He didn't have, get it, the control of them three powers to unite them in the first going out there, no. How could he even have economics when he captured the wealth of the world yet? You get me? When did he begin to capture the wealth of the world? You know, I was studying something. And sometimes I travel and I pick up some books. Sometimes I go in these secondhand bookstores where people just get modern and they want new things and they put away all the old things. And over the years, God helped me, I walk into things. I always say when they put up the prophet library, I had 99% of the books he had on the shelf. I didn't even like them. When he begin to teach, I know exactly where he's getting it from, where he's going, where he's staying with it. I know. Amen. I pick up this book here, and I don't buy books until after 1946. I buy books before 1946. Because 1946, the voice of God in the last days came. Amen. The eagle began to come forth. I don't know nothing else after that. After we have the message. See? But looking back in the history, see? Like one of the brothers from Grenada, the brother Andy, they put him, they drop him into the man, he go back to school and learn history. And you know, he kind of helps with the work over there. So he's very under pressure. Okay, if he, no. That is going to take me away from the church now. And so he called me up. I said, what? I said, boy, what is he going to learn? History? I said, go and learn history. I said, history repeats itself. I said, prophecy has become history. I said, you have no identity without history. See? And next week, just push me over to tell him, brother, you're a legend. Then I get some next door. I said, no. I said, in this age here, I said, there's many ways you can learn. I said, don't just go and sit in a class to learn history. Think of history. I said, history is always going to help you. But anything that has happened and documented, it took place in a certain era of time. And you know that time because you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that will fall somewhere in some age. And that will bring to light that age to you. You think if you want to understand the things that happen in the world today, you can understand it. Just the Bible puts everything in there, but the Bible condenses its truths. And sometimes, look what God does. And God says, and Jehoiakim was taken to Egypt and he died there. The Babylonian, no history of Jehoiakim other than that. You'll find nothing else in the Bible. Says he served for 8 months or how much years? 3 months. And then he was taken by the king of Babylon. The archaeologists with the spade dig up some tablets of recorded history in Babylon. And they have Jehoiakim name there. And they have things that Jehoiakim had did when Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Jerusalem and took him down there. And recorded because just like the nations of the world, we read today about the Jews. You know that history book, this tell you, Jesus said, the fig tree put forth its bud. Then the next thing is to tell you, two prophets going to come. Bible will tell you what's going to happen there with Israel, from put forth the bud, scattering to all nations, come back in the homeland until Moses and Elijah come. But every day we hear news about Israel. Every day we smoke in Israel. And when we begin to see those things, then it begins to enlighten us how things in the that's written in the word is coming to pass. So I'm saying that to show you, God have ways. When you study the word, if you're a student of the word and you love the scripture, remember the greatest source of knowledge you can find is the Bible. There's no certain book you can read in comparison to this, but this God taught. And the Bible is not just a religious book. Bible is a history book. Bible is a science book. Bible is an astronomy book. See? The Bible is a book of war. Bible is a book of religion. Bible, everything that you can think of is inside the Bible. There's nothing that happened in the world, there's nothing in the Bible. And that's why with the opening of the seven seals, we have come into the book to look in and see what the book is. And that's why when I'm teaching some of these things, to let you see that I'm not just preaching a message, you know. I'm opening something. I'm opening something. I'm focusing, I'm trying to show you, I believe I am finding in the scripture the events that is happening today that is changing the world to bring in a new world order. I'm finding that in the Bible. Because when Nebuchadnezzar became the head of gold, it was a new world government, a new world system where one power controlled all politics, all economics, and all religion. There was a new world order. It is even marked historically, and it is even marked biblically, because it is called in the Bible that there's a definite line comes down dispensationally that Jesus calls the times of the Gentiles. The beginning of the Gentile dispensation. If you want to know when God is going to serve his kingdom on the earth, you have to follow out the Gentile dispensation, the four kingdoms, and then the days of the ten toes, the kingdom of God. When Christ is going to reign, how the Davidic throne is going to come back. When the angel came to Mary and says, and he shall have the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And when the disciples asked Jesus, when will thou restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus, the Lion of Judah, had prevailed to take the book and gather his subjects
and you will sit in my throne to understand them prophecies. You have to see it is coming at a particular time at the end of the Gentile dispensation. And if we have the seven seal book, he'll let the Father's throne to take his throne. He's open, he's getting his subjects. Son of Man has been revealed between the Son of God and Son of David. When you see the Son of Man in a cloud, the kingdom of God is at hand. That angel of his hand said, time shall be no longer. Amen. You see where we are? Prophet says, is this the sign of the end? Turn the rock, judgment start in the earth. Turn the cloud, supreme judge with a white wing, the ancient of days. You see? Gentile dispensation coming to check. And if that was so, if there is nothing new under the sun, I believe I'm finding that in the world. I read this here where it says, he's given power to kill 1/4 part of the earth with the sword, because now for him to kill with the sword, he has to have control of military power. Influence with the world's armies. Didn't the Bible say the kings give the strength and power to the beast? You see how when you read one scripture, which is the seal? If I ask for the fourth seal, those other people tell me. Like the prophet and his age. Boom, full stop. Because it can't go no further. But to come into the world here, to kill with pestilence? You mean he can kill with pestilence? And I show you, pestilence, a lot of the world's pestilence today originate in laboratories. When man came into the chemical age, you know what World War I was fought with? Poison gas. That was the big weapon. Poison gas. Man had bayonet before and the musket gun. But when they get poison gas, something, you know what Hitler killed them Jews with? Gas. You know what that is? Invention of science. You know what destroyed the earth, the ozone layer? Gas. You know what? It's the greatest cause of respiratory diseases today. Carbon monoxide and all the industrial waste and them things. You know water and all these things. You know a lot of things, you think about it, go back to gases. You know you go back to gases too. You know part use chemical. Sure. That's what I'm saying, the word, you can't have a shallow mind with the word. That's why I call the book of Revelation. That's why it's in symbol. God hide it. But when it opened before your wandering eyes in the age where you think all the things you hear about it is not in the Bible, it is in the Bible. But the name it called it to, you need Revelation to bring it to that. I remember them seven trumpets for years and years and years. I couldn't grasp, I couldn't conceptualize. You know what the Paul was saying? He said, nature take a tumble, nature take a tumble. One day the Spirit revealed to me and said, he's saying nature, what they call ecology today. Yeah. Yeah. He's not a school man. So when they use ecology and conservation, that's what he's talking about. Yeah. And when I started to go back to the same thing, he's saying that. Then everything come alive. Then he says, Satan builds Eden, he says civilization. One word, civilization. With a prophet talking, not a theologian, not Bible school student. One word, he put 6,000 years. Civilization. Man ability, man genius, man science, man civilization. Amen. There is another open. And that's how you realize you sit down there. And then I'm trying to bring in these messages is that
the things that we're looking at, it is opening something. Not like preaching a message, just preaching a message. I'm doing that juvenile guy telling in the beginning, this kind of thing would need consecutive days. So when I come, I'm catching things and trying to refer back and get you and draw your mind and then say things and polish things for you so you can see what I'm dealing with. Because the mystery of this man of sin coming in to take the world economics, it's not the day down there going to happen, you know, it's happening here all the time. The fourth seal, he's gathering his powers. In other words, under the fourth seal, the man of a white, a red, and a black horse that will unite to control the world. The world has changed, you know. At a time, what was considered the world was the Commonwealth. British said the sun never go down. They had the influence everywhere. You children do social studies and these things, you read them things in school. What the Commonwealth was. Then you read about the old world. Before they had the new world, before America was populated, Europe was the world. That's when the Bible talks about the beast that sits on the waters, the seas, and call America the earth because it had no peoples. Had a few North American Indian tribes, but there was not a people with global impact. Well, think of it. I was thinking of this recently as I close here. I was reading something about the printing press. The Reformation spread because of the printing press. Luther could have printed the Bibles. The Catholic had burned the Bibles, enslaved the people with the prayer book. And Luther, because of the invention of the printing press, and God timed it. He got these scholars. Because politically, the Turks had captured Constantinople. Just like how they had the Berlin Wall, nobody could have traveled to Eastern Europe before. If you're from the Western world, and they wouldn't let nobody from the Eastern world come over here. The world was at a loggerhead, the world divided the world in two. Then, when the Turks captured Constantinople, the Jews could travel to the West to help him translate the scriptures. This is from the church's book I'm taking, isn't it? I'm quoting from the church's book, what I'm saying. They invent the printing press at the same time. One is politics, one is science in the same time. And Luther is in the spiritual realm. A man who is born as a messenger in the earth predestined to catch the mystery. The age that was going to follow him would be the missionary age. And if they're going to spread the gospel, they have to have a form in which they could spread it. So paper is invented, the printing press is invented, they have ink, and now they can print the Bibles and disseminate the seed, scatter it throughout the world. And Christianity that went down in the dark ages, a blade was coming up and it began to spread. You go over and you find that an age of the Renaissance and all these different things coming on one side. Then, just before that, Columbus and them, looking for trade and a new way, they begin to travel. That's a, you take history and the church age and you put them together, you learn a lot of things. They had a money system in coins, gold and silver. They get them from shells and things long ago. Luther and them was in an industrial age. The industrial age was from 1675. Luther was 1520 to 1750. When they, Columbus and come here, they meet in this part of the world, especially in South America, these people have gold, plate, gold, cup, gold around their neck, gold bangle, gold artifacts. That to them is not a money system, you know. They're in an agricultural world. They don't even know Europe exists. They have their own civilization down here. These people come and see gold all over where man hiding up in big strong box and have God standing around. You understand what I'm saying? And they know this is the basis for the money system we have back over there.
And so they come, wipe out this whole civilization. First they introduce diseases, pestilence. Then they had the sword. Then they killed them out, famine. Then they wage war on them. That the day when we go in a museum, we see our old thing, what we mean. They can't, they don't carry everything. We meet them old fish hook. Or some old tomahawk from that civilization. Nothing real worth and value because they take everything, they load the ships. You know why? Because having the powers of navigation and the knowledge of the sea, it caused them to extend the boundaries of the country and find new worlds. And when you come across a world that had things could generate your world and advance your world, they destroy these worlds here. They enslave these people because when they look at them, those things were interpreted as wealth. And they took all back to the King of Spain, and which was Catholic at the time. Bartolomeu de la Sammy is more versed than me in these things. He's the historian of God who used to be in the corner. And wait, you have all these Bartolomeu de la Casas and all the different people coming in. All, it was all things too early enslaved. Wasn't there no Christianity really? They was using that to pacify the people, to control them. But the real interest was to take these little states and turn them to be under the power of the Roman authority that had empowered them and sent them out. And so they were taking the booty and the spoils back. These regions that we are in, the islands, they came out of that kind of world. So when you see today, you walk along Port of Spain, and big Trinity Cathedral, big Catholic Church, Holy Rosary, and all different things. This is the foundation of where these things come from, you know. And friends, let me tell you, today it has become more sophisticated because remember, back there they operated in a barbaric way in the world. But with technology and science and culture and civilization, the thing get more refined. That's why people look and don't see slavery and it exists everywhere. Now they have the thing that could deceive in a mass way. But it's the same Roman power. It's a change in outward texture, but the nature was still the same barbaric devil. It was a monster that devoured the whole earth and break it in pieces. Then when it comes to 1963, get it now? As I close this, when it comes to 1963, and God going to lift the seal off, you know who's that power doing all the mischief in the earth? The great harlot. Now we have to reinterpret. We're reading book, we history book, because now we realize all these things was carefully written to enslave us and keep us that inferior mentality. That we are lesser people. And outside the new birth and the genuine Holy Spirit that will come out of you. But it takes God in you to give conviction. It takes revelation to give power to stand for something. And friends, let me tell you. These things, that's what I'm saying. When that eagle came, a man, he was revealing something. The man who even fought that dragon didn't know about that dragon. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost didn't know about that dragon. Do we know about that dragon, you know? Because all of them only had the word in part. But under this message, his scheme is uncovered. His name is identified. His history is mapped out. Amen. Genesis to Revelation, he's uncovered.
That's why there's a bride going to escape these things. I will not be deceived. Because you're coming to know these powers and these spirits and the method and the way that woman Jezebel. Everything God has to know about this beast and this system, he gave it to us back there in the Old Testament. In pictures, in scenes that uncover her makeup. And you, the bride, is also another woman. That's why in the book of Revelation, there are two women, Babylon and Jerusalem. Two women. One's a harlot, one's a virgin bride. There's going to be a people out of this world washed from the filth of Babylon. But a raise up to come into union with Christ to become the Lamb's wife. That the way a man does think about his wife who is part of himself, a man who has the mystery I'm talking about, who knows his wife his own flesh, and no man hates his own flesh, but knows and cherishes it. A man who knows the life of his wife, that Christ, that people will become so to Christ, like a wife. For he's the man who has the perfect knowledge of the mystery of the marriage. He's the perfect husband. He has a people that he feels for, that he knows, like Adam told Eve, you come from me, girl. You was in me. When Jesus looked at us, he knew all of my attributes that come out of me. All his bride. See? Every one of us carry that strain inside of us. And that's why to relate to us, he relates to us with such a... You see a man that says he don't want to treat his wife. Balls at her, he slaps her, he want to threaten her. He make it tense for her, she unhappy, everything on his mind, he had these hours, you know. And you see, it's like she's staying with him because she don't want to divorce. She's trying to bear to and hope he change. And she's going through pressure because, you know, she's longing for love. And she's kept down in every way. Then you see the next man, he begins to get a revelation. She's a daughter of God. God give me a princess. She's a virtuous woman. Look at the thoughts God is thinking about me to make me happy. Look at the mystery that's in the Bible. Look at God give me an opportunity to let out things in me that could not be let out without a real wife so I can reflect him. And then through that I can understand what I am to him and how he sees me. And when the world talks about the marriage of the Lamb and the Lamb wife and these things, I can think those thoughts more beyond religion. I can think of it in the way what I would expect of him, what he would expect of me. And the joys and the way he carried the responsibility. Then you see a next man who, they say, may have grown into that. And when he sees wife, he sees himself. He sees that one. And he could never think of his life without his wife. He could never think about, oh, if my wife died, I'll get a next wife. And, you know, when something go happen, you go through a pressure. Because he's come to a place of realization. He's come to a place of understanding. He's matured into a place where he sees not just this world, he sees the mystery of God in his life, the predestined mystery. The God who knew, who lived in eternity, who there is no past or present or future. Everything is present with him. He's washed in the blood. All the things is gone from him. He stands there. He has a people coming out in the last days. The revelation built in our thinking that in his presence we have no fear. We have confidence. We know the thoughts he thinks towards us. We know the desire of our heart to want to please him. We know the relationship we enjoy. We know what he will say to us, and we know what we will say to him. We know how to respond to certain things. Just how a husband and wife have a bond. And it's going to be thinking about that thought sometimes. Thinking of beliefs. You say, God, I tried to call you today and tell you, that, you know, look how you bring this. And say, girl, I'm coming home and somebody is telling me, you have that there for me. And when God let us in our natural life get the glimpses and little shadows of the experience, it's only to tell us but that reality is right with Jesus Christ. Because when this Bible ends, he's a married man with a wife. He's going to spend eternity with it. He built a home for. Going started as a man that God gave a wife to. Think of it. And that system of the world that tried to take us and tried to enslave us, God kept us from that. You can never be thankful enough when you see but the perversion and how she perverts, how it destroys. My such a thing. Let's stand up. You know, last night we had a sister who recently began to come to the assembly. First, her daughter had come and got baptized. Brother Atri used to give her lessons, and through going there and giving her lessons when she used to go to school, she came out, and which is Leanne French is her name, and then her sister came and the mom came, and they also was baptized, and the father is separated from them, I guess, for some time. I just learned that today as well. And this the mother, she just took into a coma last night and died, and it was so sudden. I mean, she had a little hypertension and just like went in the coma and died sudden like that. And so the young girl, I think, is 18 years old, and she has a little sister, a younger sister, and her brother that lives with them. They have an elder sister who is married and has gone on. So, you know, it is very sudden, but in speaking with her today, it seems that the Lord just is giving her the grace and the strength, because she was there trying to move around, and then there's a couple of the saints there with them trying to help them get through the arrangements and so on. And I don't know much more after that, but I guess by Friday you should know. And but these people are from Marabella, so I guess some of you might know them, some of you would not know them, because they've been new in the assembly not too long, but some fine people. And something like this has been very sudden, because she wasn't like alien in a bed or anything like that. It was just like God just took her so sudden that, you know, it just has left the void in the home. But you know how those things are when you have young children, and you're 18 year old trying to take care of the other two. So we would certainly want God's grace and favor for them. Let us bow our heads and talk to our Father a little bit, and just take them on your heart by the grace of God as a believer. Think what a believer, how great it is when times like these come and you are a believer. You can make a difference. You have something you can give out to bring comfort and assurance and peace and hope. Give strength. As a believer, you can stand in God's stead there, and God can work in and through you. Almighty God, in these last few closing hours of time, when this whole world is dying, Father, your prophet said he could stand and preach the funeral service of the world. A world that has already crossed the line of mercy and has entered into judgment. A world that is doomed to destruction, to be cremated. Souls that are in prison now, impossible to be saved. Dear God, to know that just by a young brother looking for a way to earn a little income. You sent him that way one day. Where he entered that home to give a little lessons. The mother was trying to help her child prepare for exam. Dear God, you had a greater purpose. You had three souls in that home. You had in mind. You had a designated way. You had to pass that way. To let the light shine in the path, Lord. Because you knew the time was running out, even for the mother. She was going to come to the end of her earthly journey, Lord, and you wanted to intercept her. Your light could have gone and shined into her heart to give her the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God, that our brother didn't just stay trying to teach academic lessons. To use the opportunity to give witness and testimony to the great God of heaven. That he too, dear God, had been called out of a university. Lord, where he was studying, Lord, for his degree, and family had great plans for him. Dear God, to see how you work in your mysterious ways, your wonders to perform. You took him all from Canada, dear God, and brought him back. Then you sent him that way. Trying to use the knowledge that you learned and gained in a way, dear God, that he could help him not have to depend upon his parents. He could be independent, especially knowing, oh God, they're not being Christians, and he took a stand for you, Father. Stand and called to be reproached and even to be rejected and persecuted. They, Lord God, with our sister having to be called home and called so suddenly, it seems that she went without warning to the family. Looks like it sometimes, but your prophet tells us that you never bring a man or woman to judgment without first warning them. There's always signs, sometimes so simple that we stumble over the simplicity of it. And yet God, to know that this dear lady had recognized something, Father, in that young man, recognized something in her children who came under the influence. Dear God, she herself walked in it, baptized, and had her sins remitted. Truly, O God, who is here believing and is baptized, the same shall be saved. We want to give you thanks, Father, to know, dear God, that if you, in your great mind, your great intelligence, could have worked that way with your foreknowledge, then how much more you've already made provision even for those that are left behind, Father. The natural realm is going to be sad because her mother is the backbone of her home. How she must have sacrificed to try to give her children a good education. After, dear God, having a husband that forsook her and went his way and stayed trying to raise those children, Father. Lord, we pray for those children. Pray, dear God, that you would help them, Father. May you undergird them. May you surround them with your great mighty presence. May you strengthen them. May you give them assurance and comfort. As only you can, we know you surely can, Father. You're the great shepherd of the sheep. Take these little lambs, oh God. Comfort them. Hold them close to your bosom. Put them on your shoulder, dear God. Take them through these times, Father. Let them grow great in strength. May you reveal yourself and draw them closer to you, and shed abroad your love in their heart, Lord. Give them the hope steadfast and sure, a strong consolation, an anchor to the soul, dear God. Let them find a refuge, Father. Please, where they can have peace and security. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the dear mother. Lord God, who you saw and done her part, Father. And you call her home to her reward. We didn't come to know her too well. Dear God, we are grateful that you will come to this place and hear your truth and believe that truth and to walk in it, Lord, and to make here a home church and become part of the family of the local saints here that assemble together for fellowship. What we know of her, Father, has been honorable. And so we pray, dear God, that her works would follow her. And you cause her children to prosper, Lord, as they come to walk in the truth. We thank you for your word tonight, Father. This great evening light that has come to us. This dark hour that we live in, brightening our path and making the hope such a reality. That which you have given unto us to look forward to. Tonight, dear God, we take it into deep consideration. Tonight, dear God, it means more to us, Father. Especially in this late hour we see. Not many more days, Father. We see the word being filled with such rapidity. And we thank you for your presence. That we are feeling in an unusual way and we see working in such an inspiring way. In these last few services, just to open the scriptures and just to begin to speak of your word, seems like they just let loose the Holy Spirit among us. Brings it a refreshing. I pray you are causing many to benefit from it, Lord. I pray, dear God, you are leading many to a deeper grasp upon the truth, to study and to catch with greater clarity, to find a place, oh God, where they can be convinced, dear God. But in our time of preparation, the meeting's coming up, dear God. We are on the verge of a few more days before we embark. After having that call yesterday, the dear friend that you've given to us to help us in our preparations, dear God, to see, dear God, everything falling in place, Father. The things that you are showing us, the discussions that we have been having, we can go forward, Lord. Wage a really effective campaign. We are praying, dear God, that you will deal with each one individually in the assembly, those that will remain and those that will go, but together as a team, Father, you cause us to be so focused on the objective. Lord God, as we stand shoulder to shoulder, knowing that this responsibility is part of what you entrusted the bride with. A sacred responsibility, Lord. A commitment to carry up the word, Father. Because this gospel must be preached to all nations. Then shall the end come. Oh God, continue to deal with us. Continue, dear God, to shine the light in the places where we need to be enlightened. We think of Israel. They went forth to Jericho and you showed them how to take that place. Went to Ai and you showed them what they must do for that place. To each place they went, the captain of the Lord host, the intelligence, gave the instructions, gave the directions, unfolded the approach. So we believe in, just like, Lord, we went to the Big One, went to the Grenada, now going to St. Vincent. That which is needed to carry out and wage an effective campaign, Lord, to get the elect out. Get them established in the present truth. Lord, you would give us the leadership. You'd give us the insight. You'd minister to us the things. We depend upon you, Lord. You have made us co-workers to go hunt our lost fallen brothers and sisters in this evening time. Adam, Adam, where thou? Where thou? To finish this great plan of redemption. We don't want to work for you, we want to work with you. See, you work in and through us. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, minister to each and every one in the capacity, in the measure, that such an effective witness can be displayed, Father. That you will deal with them on that side and even draw them. Create the hunger and the thirst within them. Put them under anticipations and expectations of what is fixing to happen, Lord. And move them. Our path will cross. In the meetings, in the time we spend in the country, these seeds can, a promise can find that bedrock of faith. Bring a birth, dear God. Bring an awakening and a realization. We see those things in the Bible, Father. So we pray according to your revealed truth and by faith, recognizing that in this hour, this junction of time, we have been privileged to be called by you, to be enlisted in the great army of God. And so we respond to the call of duty, Father, reporting for duty and service. Have your own blessing with you. Bless each and every one that's gathered here tonight. Bless every family represented. Continue to lead them and guide them, dear God. Continue to supply their every need. Oh God, brood upon your church in this hour. Perfect your church, Lord. Bring us to such a state of rightness. May you grant, Lord, we'll be ready to leave this world. If you get ready to leave this building tonight, we commit each and every one to your mighty hands. We pray that God, you'll take us in peace and safety as we travel along the road. Watch over us and protect us. Keep us in your presence. Keep us in the fellowship of your Holy Spirit. Keep us under divine and holy influence, Father. Let such a love, Father, radiate in our hearts one for the other. Let that love be expressive one towards the other. We see how sudden one can be called away. How, dear God, we want to put a value on each other. And not think that we are too busy, oh God, to reach out to one another, Father. And to make ourselves available. And to think on the things of others. And to bear one another burdens, and the strong bear the infirmity of the weak, and so fulfilling the work of Jesus Christ. For by this love, he said, shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. That you will look down among us and see that same love that was there, as it was beyond the curtain of time, as it was in the Alpha, when they had all things in common, Lord. That would continue to rise and rise. Until we are so filled and overflowed with that divine love. That's what you desire to see more than any other gift, Father. Oh God, may you grant it. We love you, Jesus. We commit everyone into your hands. We thank you for being here. Fill your children with your Holy Spirit, Father. Is what we ask tonight. Out more and more of your Spirit. Make them to hunger, to thirst, dear God. Jesus, may we find you close in this hour. May you find our hearts yielded and surrendered. Oh God, may you grant it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. As I strive daily, Lord, to see your word perfected, help me be so deeply sincere from within. So deeply sincere. My time for consecration, and I must lay aside so I can rise up on the wings of faith, so I can live. Thank you.
above, above.
See, Lord, you've given me a path to follow. What a straight and narrow path, marked by bloody footprints. And you showed me. You've opened up the word to us and you've made it clear, Father. Oh, now my only desire is, Lord, prepare me. We'll be always in your service. A true service. To do this service according to your will. To be a prepared servant in this hour. Oh, so I can rise up. And so the heavens wide. In heavenly places. Far beyond. So I can see. Like the eagle. That's how you understand eagle vision this hour. Just to follow. They're trying to play softly. There have been some notices put on the board concerning the trip to St. Vincent. Please look and read those notices tonight. Because we had the office call some of you who are on the trip, because that down payment has to be wired tomorrow for the accommodation to St. Vincent. So don't miss that tonight. It's very important. And you see the office tonight, get up there, get everything sorted out by the grace of God. As I strive daily. Daily, Lord. God, we should bless you. Let's come up for a real old-fashioned prayer meeting. We have so much to pray for, so much things that we need to see cultivate and rise up. May God help you, keep you in his presence. May you mix the word in faith, obey, act upon it. It can profit you much in this hour. Try to be obedient. You see what's happening. Holy Spirit, just looking for obedient hearts. You can take him at his word. God bless you.
George wants to thank the Lord for saving her brother's life after the bus in which he was traveling overturned and killed the driver. Amen. So she wants to give thanks for the saving of her brother's life. Amen. God Thank God for the grace tonight, amen. I want to rise up on the wings of faith and soar to heaven tonight, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, so I can rise up, Pastor Paul.
So I can rise up on the wings of faith and soar to heaven. I can live in heavenly places far beyond the clouds and sky. So I can see like an eagle the things God sees from above. Just follow in the way of God.
See, Lord, you've given me a path.
See, Lord.
And you showed me just what I was called unto. Lord, prepare me to be always in your service.
I'm gonna make a